Warning: this episode contains themes of maturity and sexuality that may be unsuitable for viewers age 13 and under. Listen at your own discretion.
The opinions expressed on Melatonin are individual and not representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
Hello. Welcome to the first episode of Melatonin. Yay! Yippee! I am your host. My name is Arika, and I'm so very excited to be here and speak to you guys. Yay! Yippee! It's also very, very unfortunate because I am extremely sick. Super duper sick, even. And it sucks because I wanted my voice to be very well for the first episode, but today it's a really nasally, very, very congested. This is not how I usually sound, so please bear with me. Just think of it like my alter ego or whatever. But yeah, so as a bit of a introduction to me, I guess, and an introduction to me and this podcast as well, I struggle a lot. I struggle a lot with sleeping, and I tend to put audio in the background just to have some background noise. But I like to listen to a lot of different things, so I've been dabbling in, like, watching a bunch of shows in the background, or podcasts, sleep podcasts, ASMR, white noise. My hot take is white noise. I don't really like white noise that much. Good for you if you like it. I don't like it. Anyway. Yeah, so I thought it'd be really fun to just, on this podcast, try a different sleep format every episode so that you guys can, like, get a taste of what, like, sleep audio formats can sound like. And for this one, it's a bit of a treat. When I think of sleep media, I think of, like, audiobooks. And I think the original, the OG sleep media when you're a kid is, like, somebody reading you a book to go to sleep. I think bedtime stories were the biggest thing that got me into, like, sleep media. And they're just so, there's just such a charm to them. They're so relaxing. They're so calming. I always feel, like, a sense of nostalgia every time I listen to a story when I go to bed. And I thought it'd be really fun if I did the same thing, if I tried to emulate it. I asked a couple of my friends to send me some short stories that I could read. And I'm very excited to read them today because they are such talented writers. And the stories were so sad that I cried when I read them. I'm just a bit of a crier, so I hope you guys enjoy listening. But actually, a fun fact about me is that I'm actually a really bad out loud reader. I really struggle with reading out loud. In, like, schools, I would reread sections. So if I was called on by the teacher, I would, like, say it perfectly, but I would never retain any of the information. I was just, like, reading over and over and over again. So today is a bit of a challenge for me. I'm gonna get so much training with reading out loud. But yeah, I don't want to stall a bit longer, so let's just get into the first story. Mother, Sun, and Snow by Paul Koo. On cold winter nights, when frosty winds command the air and thick dark clouds block even the slightest shimmers of the moon, you might hear the faint footsteps of animals trotting their way home after a long day out. A small schoolboy named Dustin will tell you that, if you happen to gaze out from the windowsill at exactly 9 o'clock and not a minute later, you can catch the first shavings of snowfall from the sky. This is a warning that, in the morning after, you should expect to run into a white wall barring your front door and trapping you inside. On such a day at dawn, Dustin's mother, who had a head of hair paler than the snow outside, was waiting. "Dustin, my dear boy," she called calmly, "would you perhaps fancy accompanying your mother in clearing away the snow?" The young lad, who had yet to free himself from the cozy comfort of his bedtime blanket, groaned loudly. No, not on a weekday. For what if I happen to hurt my delicate arms and be left helpless to hold up a pencil? My fellow classmates will surely snicker, objected Dustin. His mother, who quite frankly knew all too well that he was merely whimpering to stay in bed, sighed dismally. All right, my son, I understand, she answered promptly with no ounce of hostility. Be mindful to eat the bowl of rice I've rested on the kitchen table, as you mustn't starve yourself on any day, yet alone a school day. Yes, yes, of course I will, mother, Dustin responded with both eyes shut seamlessly. By the moment he woke up again and stepped outside to walk to school, the several sheets of snow barricading his house had vanished. All that remained were the fresh footprints from his mother's tattered black leather boots, which Dustin was none the wiser, as he jogged off unbothered with three rice pellets stuck to his dirty teeth. The following evening, the air around the neighborhood was dense and damp, aptly topped off by an unforeseen fog that flooded the area. Once the hour hand struck 9 o'clock and not a second later, the soft, frosty snowflakes started to descend as per course. To avoid the arduous trouble of shoveling the snow after it had firmly piled up against the front door in the previous morning, Dustin's mother decided it was time to beat the wintry weather themselves. Dustin, my one and only son, she pleaded dotingly, could you be so courteous to lend your mother a helping hand while the snow is still light? As indifferent as the day before, maybe even more, Dustin scoffed and sneered at the simple task. No, no, not at night. For what if I were to lose the sleep I need to partake in soccer practice? Whatever will I do if I'm unable to muster the strength to score a goal? He complained coercively. His mother, who already assumed he would say such a statement in retaliation, shook her head in disappointment. Okay, Dustin. If that's indeed the case, you mustn't stay up any longer and rest your tired body. Good night, my son, she replied affectionately. Yes, yes, you have my word, mother. Good night to yourself as well, he retorted in due haste. After he closed the door to his room, he carefully dragged the wooden chest cluttered with toys from beneath his bed. The weary sounds of his mother shoveling the snow outside, alone and cold, were drowned out by his lie. Come the next morning, Dustin awoke to an unusually silent and static home. Mother? He called composedly. Not a word was said. Dustin, who was growing a tad anxious now, removed himself from bed and crept his way into the kitchen, where his mother would normally be preparing a beautiful breakfast. It was empty. Not even the slightest scent of ingredients lingered around the kitchen air. Frantically, Dustin charged his way to the front door, which was unlocked. As he placed his hand on the doorknob, he knew what was waiting for him. There, collapsed on a small snowbank, was his mother. Her hair was wholly decorated in frost, and her skin was rigid. Suddenly, she spoke. Dustin? Have you eaten yet? The Drive Home by Teresa Van. The drive home is the worst. Two car crashes, the right side mirror half replaced, a backseat window with metallic Spider-Man stickers, and one missing tire rim. The family's 2004 Toyota Corolla. Not only are there unwarranted questions or nagging reminders about my sleep schedule, but a 15-minute ride turns into an hour at most. Thank goodness the car is up for sale. I was so certain Dad would not sell the car for petty cash, especially to a new driver. Every time another tissue box or sticker piled up in the back, my parents kept their breath. Short, but not long. No one ever completely cleans the car, unless it was Mom's car. The car that mattered. The car that picks everyone up from birthdays and offers abrupt laughter. I hate the drive home in Dad's car. We are 8 minutes in a hallway argument away from being late. Ballet and hip-hop happen every Saturday, which is when Mom is usually working, unfortunately. She knows to bring an extra water bottle and the right snacks. However, a sigh comes out once I hear the jangling keys. Does he have to double-check the doors twice? Then I run to my seat, the seat behind the driver. It will never be and never has been any other cushion spot. He cranks up the heat to 4. I look to my left and the window stickers are wavering for a much-needed friend. They all fit into a corner where you lie down and know they are with you. In a peripheral view, you can see them just right. Without question, my best naps happen on the road. The car is not as big as a Ford van I get to ride on school days, the much preferred joyride. Just to check, I look into the rearview mirror. Closing my eyes seems more appealing than being pestered, but channels turn. I'm not in the mood for music. Even though we are running late to dance, the gas around the corner is below a dollar. Clearly, he has no worries. As he leaves the engine on and fills up on gas, an ad for Christmas plays on the radio and I try to tune it out. He cannot hear me waving to lower the heat. We do not get to talk often, but there's not much to say anyway. November's seasonal raindrops cut through traffic jams. 5 turns, 2 more red lights, past the park. I can count how many trees it takes to get to the studio. Before I know it, I unbuckle my seatbelt and slam the door shut. Muttering goodbye, words muffled from outside. Your dance friends always have a look on their face, a hesitant pause when you interrupt an inside joke. Sure, we sped up a bit, but the Toyota trips overstay their welcome. At some point, practice ends in a flash, and there's always a sticker awaiting from the teacher. This time, the stickers are stars, blue and yellow. On the stairs, I stand with my stomach turning, and I wonder, why is he always late? Mom always knows all my friends' names, so it is ill-fitting to start the conversation with no road signals. Dance lessons evolved into piano lessons. It was never forced upon me, but it meant another weekly road trip with him. In high school, the lessons tended to teeter, with homecoming games and media days for the school play sinking the hobby ship. With more involvement in late-night student council meetings, Mom picks me up more often. The Ford is gone, but the bright new red Nissan Juke with a Transformers plate at the back gets more mileage. However, Saturday reuses the same routine with the first count of 8. 8 minutes until the piano lessons, 5 exits away. The brake changed, but we are still stuck with the old Toyota. As there are pauses between our lives and missteps in our morning routines, we never get to see each other. I never really see him. The radio switches down a level to talk about my future. He asks about dance, or if piano lessons are worth the car ride, if I do not even care. Why do I have to take you if you don't even practice? What do you want to do after high school? What are your friends like? I am trying my best to defend why all the lessons are worth it. I wish I could just slip away under the trunk. Well, I know he asks because he's curious and wants to keep the telephone line open, even with a poor connection sometimes. Either the car window tint was wearing off or my vision is getting blurry, but I try to peel off the window stickers as a distraction. Though the sparkly adhesive shows tears, they're impossible to get off. The drive home is never short. He always refers to the house as the red brick house, as if it were the yellow brick road from The Wizard of Oz. We never managed to get the silly stickers off. I thought it would take weeks after being dragged along to look at new cars. It cost quite a bit to own 2 newly used vehicles. I quit dance and I left piano lessons. I changed a lot of steps in my routine. Now and then, there are still coffee trips or spare change found in the old Toyota. I thought it was time for another grocery trip or a dreaded ride with Dad, but it was a pair of strangers taking the car away. Instead of looking out from the car, I'm looking out at the driveway. The drive home is the worst. How Fanfiction Got My Best Friend Her Boyfriend by Liesl Korumpis. This is the story of how fanfiction was the key to my best friend losing her V-card. So my best friend and I were massive losers in high school. I know that sounds harsh, but low-key, it's true. We didn't have any game, and we didn't know anything about dating. So when we graduated, we were really desperate to try dating. Our friend group encouraged her to try dating apps, mainly because we didn't have anyone to introduce her to. One night, she and my other friend, R, got drunk and started swiping on Tinder. Not Hinge, not Bumble, but the evil depths of Tinder. She swiped right on a guy who looked like a playboy, and he texted her. She was really scared to reply to him, but R encouraged her to text back. Boom. First date set. Fast forward a week, and she's getting ready for the date, and she's calling me. Suddenly, she has a nervous breakdown, and she's like, "Oh my god, I can't go on this date. I don't know what I'm doing. Should I just stay home?" I tried to calm her down, but nothing was working. Then, it struck me. Bargaining. I thought, what's something that she really wants? And I realized the answer. The answer was smutty fanfiction of her favorite Genshin couple, Zhongli and Tartaglia. I said I'd add whatever she wanted in it and make it her dream fic. She agreed, she went on that date, she lost her V-card within 2 days of meeting the guy, and now they've been dating for 3 years. And yes, I wrote and published the fic on AO3. Moral of the story is, never underestimate the power of gay fanfiction. Those were our stories today, and I hope you guys enjoyed listening to them, even despite my nasally voice, my sick voice. I hope it sounded very calm, because I was not very calm recording this episode. I can't even count how many times I just, like, stumbled up on my words and then just yelled into the mic. So you're kind of lucky you didn't have to hear all of that. I think these stories, they both mean quite a bit to me, just because they're about, like, relationships with your parents. There's, like, a mother-father relationship here. I didn't expect to, when I asked my friends to send me their stories, I didn't expect both of them to be about parental relationships, but here we are, and they both hit me too hard. Too hard. I was so sad. I've been in a very melancholic mood recently, and when I read these, I was just, like, crying in a cafe. I'm also very thankful for Liesl's complete tonal shift of a story, just as a palate cleanser. Yeah, to bring up the mood, thank you, Liesl. I would have loved to read a snippet of the Zhongli Tartaglia fanfiction. If you guys want that, maybe I'll put it in the next episode. Tune in next week to find out another type of sleep format you could listen to. It's a surprise, so stick around to be surprised. And also stick around so that you can figure out, you can hear my real voice without all this nasal congestion. Please. I think my voice is better sounding than this. But yeah. Thanks so much for listening. Have a good night. Sleep tight. Don't let the bed bugs bite.